Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Need training? Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of weekly live and on-demand training sessions. Plus, get access to vendor setup form templates and reference tools that will help you and your team avoid fraud, fines, and bad vendor data. So sign up for a free account to get access to free training sessions, vendor process FAQs, and a resource library with information you need to manage your vendor master file. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. The IRS finally published the updated version of the Form W-9. Now what? Keep listening. Welcome to episode 280. Six next steps now that the IRS has published Form W-9. Revision date, March 2024. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but the IRS issued a draft version of the Form W-9 that was dated July 26, 2023. And the revision date or revision month and year was October 2023. And so I thought, maybe you did too, that they were going to publish it in October 2023. So studied the draft version, what the changes were to that, studied the eventual instructions that came out, which came out later than the draft form did, but still thought that it was going to be issued in October. Nope, that didn't happen. They did do some updates, not to the draft form, because that draft form stayed draft for a while with that same July 26, I think, again, it was 2023. But it stayed like that for a while. And I went back to the previous version or the current version we were using then, which was October 2018. And I looked at the date that it was finally published and it was the end of the month. So October 29, 2018. So I thought, oh, maybe they'll do it at the end of October. Nope, they didn't do it then either. And so they did publish again some interim instructions with like a revision date of November or December. And so I thought, okay, so it's going to be November, December. No, it wasn't that either. However, in a rush sort of way, on March 5th, they published the draft form that was a revision date of March 2024 for the Form W-9. And so March 5th, they posted the draft, and then March 6th, they published it. So here we go. So that very long wait, very long anticipation, then all of a sudden it drops very quickly, the draft form. And then the very next day, it was that draft form was published. So this is what we're talking about today. Is what are the six steps that you need to do now that that the W-9 form that is published, the updated version, revision March 2024 is published. Now, I will say that the changes in the forms, so there are a couple of ways that you can learn what those changes are. And I think I've talked about them before on the podcast, but it's really 3A and 3B. They made some changes to that, but they also made some additional changes to the instructions, both on the form itself and then also in the formal instructions to the requesters of the W-9. And so let's talk about then how you find out what you need to do and then what next steps you need to take as far as handling the form. And we're really going to do this in two categories. I'm going to start with what you need to do for your vendors. And there's really just two things that I can think of. Maybe you can think of some different ones. And then also what you need to do for your team members. But the first real step is what I just talked about, is to read the instructions. So get the actual form W-9 and read the instructions on the form. I understand that it is for the vendors, but you know, the vendors are probably not going to read it. So you need to know what the IRS expects them to do. And then you need to read the instructions for the requesters of the W-9. So that's telling you what you need to do as the payer. And so that needs to be done. And so I am going to link both the new form revision date, March 2024 of the W-9, and then also the instructions that have the same revision date of March 2024. Now, what's, I guess, not odd about it, but it is kind of odd, is that the form, the revised form, was posted and published March 6th. However, the instructions to the payers, like you, didn't come out until March 11th. And so this podcast is being published March 14th. So it hasn't been long. You haven't missed much if you haven't done that yet. But it is time to go ahead and understand what those changes are. And again, the changes really are around 3A and 3B, but there are some changes within the instructions. And I'll talk more about how your team could get trained on that, because I do have some W-9 training that I recently expanded to 2 hours just because of this. And then also I'm offering some credits that you can earn for CPE, not for NASBA, but if you are a certified fraud examiner, which I just became, which means I can give offer credits for my training to other CFEs. And then also CEUs, continuing education credits, for those of you that have accreditation or certifications from IOFM. All right, so the steps. So I have a total of 6 steps. The first step I just talked about is read the instructions. Now, the next 5 I'm going to divide up between 2 in vendors and 3 for team members. So what you need to do that's related to your vendors, and then what you need to do that's related to your team members. So the second step, second and third step is under vendors. So the second step is to start sending them the revised March 2024 form to your vendors to complete. So if you have a package, or if you typically will send the W-9 to vendors and tell them to fill it out, so you send them the blank one, stop sending them the October 2018 version and start sending them the revised March 2024 version. And just so you know, I have not seen any regulation around the IRS about grace periods for these forms, because I know that's going to come up. When the IRS issues W-8s or publishes new versions of the W-8s, they will typically give a grace period and they will state what that grace period is. Now, if you have seen one ever in life for the W-9, I would love to hear it. I would love to see for you to send me a link to it so that I can share it with the world. But there have been debates all over about the grace period when W-9s are new versions are published. And that's just because I can't find anything on it. I don't know if anyone else can find anything on it. And so we tend to make up what we think we need to do when that happens. I've seen folks say, well, they'll take the same 6-month grace period like the W-8s, but again, the IRS will dictate that or tell you that. They don't do that with the W-9. So here's my philosophy around the collection of the form and what form you give out. Try to get the most recent version at the time that the new version is published. So that means that when you send your when you send the W-9, if you do that for vendors to complete, then you need to send them the most current version because that way they will fill out the most current version. Now, the second step is related. When you receive the W-9 from vendors that already have it on file and going to send it to you, then you require the most recent version. And so second step, right, is to update your instructions to the vendor to say that they need to send you the revised March 2024 version. Now, I already know you're going to get pushback from that. From that requirement, you're going to get pushback from the vendors. Yes, I know you're going to get pushback from the internal team members because they don't even know why you need a W-9 to begin with. They would just be happy with giving you the saved one that they had when they first onboarded the vendor back in, I don't know, 2013. And they gave you the October 2011 or whatever version that was of the W-9. That was applicable that year. And so they don't really understand it anyway. So I understand you're going to get some pushback. And I would just say take it on a case-by-case basis. But when you send your instructions out, tell them that they need the revised March 2024 version. Now, what that's going to do and why I like it is because that's going to put a stop to those folks that had the W-9 completed by somebody in their tax group, right, back in 2018, and they've just had that same electronic copy that they give to everybody that asks, not to mention the fact that they may have merged, they may have gotten acquired. They don't really understand that piece, right? They just know that they have a checkbox to complete. And so if you ask for a W-9, they're going to give you whatever version they have unless you push back. And when you push back, maybe now they're going to go back to who they should have went back to during that merger or acquisition or when they made a change, right? And ask them for a new W-9, but they didn't. Well, this revision is an excellent excuse to go to have them do that and give you that accurate W-9. That way, when you go to do the IRS 10 match, which hopefully you are doing before you set that vendor up, you don't have to worry about going back to the vendor a second time because the 10 didn't match. Now, keep in mind for both the, when you're giving it to the vendor and when you're getting it back from the vendor, if you are collecting those W-9s to set up the vendor or update an existing vendor for payments that would be made or reported on the 1099 MISC or the 1099 NEC, technically the IRS does not require the tax ID to be certified, which means it doesn't need to be signed, which means that you could really get that tax ID in an email, on a phone call, as long as it is valid. So as long as you do the IRS 10 match and it matches, doesn't really matter how you get that tax ID. And so technically, you don't even need a W-9, but don't tell the vendor that and do not tell the internal team member that. You still want it because it's not just for compliance purposes, but you want to make sure that vendor is real. So it's for two different reasons. And so make sure you still collect it. But technically, you don't necessarily need it. And so the version is not as important for compliance, which means that that grace period may not even affect you. But you do always want to require the most recent version and then just take it on a case-by-case basis if you let them submit like the October 2018 version. If you want to on your own as a team or as a company determine that you're going to let them continue to submit, right, the previous version for, I don't know, 90 days, 6 months, whatever you want to do. If you are collecting those W-9s for the 1099 MISC and 1099 ADC, you have a little bit more leeway. And you probably do with the other ones too, only because the IRS doesn't necessarily dictate a grace period, which means a cutoff date. Now, if you're not real familiar with that or comfortable with not having an exact date, welcome to the club. But what I would do if I were you is I would reach out to your tax professional and come up with your company policy on grace periods and collecting most recent versions of the form, because Deborah is not going to be able to help you. I've had some emails come in and talking about how in the past about how they allow the grace period because this, that, and the other. Well, that's fine. It's all true. But it's also all very customizable and subjective. So you do what is right for your company. No need to convince Deborah. No need to convince any other colleagues. Do what is right for your company. All right. So those are the first three steps. So read the instructions. Start sending the revised March 2024 version to the vendors to complete if you give those out. And then when you receive them from the vendors, make sure you're updating your instructions to tell them that you need the most recent version, which is March 2024. Now, the next three steps are from or for the team members. So now you need to go back and you need to update all your documentation. And that could be at least two things. So the first one is your desktop procedure. So if you guys are training pass members or have ever seen my desktop procedures, and the reason I say training pass members is because they have access to five different templates. Well, the templates for the desktop procedures for new vendor adds, for existing vendor changes, includes a visual of the W-9 form or the substitute W-9 form, and it explains what needs to be completed. And if it's not completed, when to reject it. But it has that visual there. And so you want to make sure that once you read the instructions, you include the new updated visual and also the updated instructions for collecting this new version of the W-9. And also in your vendor policy, if you get into details like the version that must be accepted, which I do recommend that you do, and also training pass members, you have an access to the vendor policy template as well. So you can take a look at what I include in there. And by the way, if you are training pass members, I do need to make some updates based on this new version of the W-9. So I'll probably announce that in email. All right. So update your team's documentation related to accepting and instructions for the W-9, since it has, right, that new version or this new version. All right. So that's one. Now, the second one is if you have a substitute W-9 form, and I just talked about that's one of the templates that I have for training pass members. And I actually do really recommend it. The IRS allows substitute forms actually for the series of the form W-8s and then also for the W-9. And I like it because if you have a vendor setup form where you're collecting more information that is given on the W-9, then you can combine it with the W-9 and just make it one form. And I wouldn't call it a substitute W-9. I call it that for us so we know what it is and we'll follow the IRS requirements for a substitute W-9. But when you send that to vendors, just change your name to a vendor setup form. And then that way, if you don't get a W-9, it's already inherent and IRS compliant in the actual vendor setup form. But it does mean that you need to keep them up to date with changes on the W-9. And so you need to update that substitute W-9 form, vendor setup form, whatever you call it, based on the IRS changes. So I do like the substitute forms because you can combine it with your vendor setup form. And if you don't already have a vendor setup form, if all you are collecting is the IRS W-9, you're really missing out on collecting a lot more information. So the W-9 itself, you get the legal name, you get the DBA name. If they have it, you get one address and you also get the tax ID. But what about a second address? Especially if they give you a PO box, you need a physical address to make sure that they are a real vendor, because a lot of fraudsters will hide behind PO boxes. That's kind of old news, but a vendor setup form or substitute W-9 form would solve that. Also, you get to collect other information like not just the tax ID, but maybe they have like a DUNS number that you want to collect. Maybe they have a UEI number, unique entity number, if they are a federal contracting vendor. Maybe you want to collect contact information, right? Because that's not on a W-9. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off course here, but you do want to make sure that if you have a substitute form W-9, that you update that based on the revised form dated March 2024. And then the last one I have, I talked about a little bit earlier, but if you've never had training on the W-9, and when I say training, I don't just mean from the compliance standpoint to determine which one's reportable, that type of thing. I mean from the also from that perspective as well, but from the perspective of the vendor team member, like getting that W-9 in, how do you know when it is filled out correctly? How do you know when you should back up withhold? How do you know when it needs a wet signature? Which, by the way, is another debate, that I think is finally solved, but we will go over that during this training as well. And so we talk about the four different taxpayer identification numbers, talk about the collection and the storage, how to enter, you know, the data from the W-9 into the ERP. And usually I end up asking or answering lots of questions too. So, you know, if you are interested in taking the training that I provide, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but you don't have to take my training. Just make sure you get some training for the team, because don't you hate it that when the vendor doesn't know how to fill out the W-9, and so they never read the instructions, but they fill it out the way they think it needs to be filled out, and then you send it into, or they send it into your team or to you, and then you or your team don't really know if they filled it out correctly either. So this is the training that I provide, and you can also get this training other places as well. The key is to get the team some training on the W-9, because it's a very short form, but it can be very confusing. And so make sure you get the team some training. And if you want to take the training that I talked about, I will put the link in the show notes. So make sure you click through it to find out more about that training and to enroll and register. And then also to find out more information if you are eligible to earn CEUs through IOFM, because again, I am now a CEU sponsor through IOFM or for IOFM. And then if you are a certified fraud examiner, you can earn participant credits to satisfy your CPE requirements. So for each of those, you get, or you can earn, two credits. So two CEUs, two CPEs. All right. So again, I'll put a link in the show notes. All right. So I am going to run through the six steps that you need to take now that the IRS has published the form W-9. The first one is read the instructions. That is the instructions for the W-9 form itself meant for the vendor, and then also the instructions that come separately for the requesters of the W-9, which is you. And then the next two are for vendors. The first is start sending the revised 2024 form. form. If you send those to vendors to complete, start sending the updated form. And then for vendors that initiate the sending of the W-9 to you, make sure you are collecting the revised version, which is March 2024, from them, and don't be afraid to push back. And then the next three are for the team members. And the first one is to update your documents and policies. So update your desktop procedures, update your vendor policy to reflect the March 2024 version and its changes. Also, if you have a substitute W-9 form, make sure you update it because it has to be compliant with the most recent version or the current version of the IRS form W-9. And then lastly, make sure you get the team training. This is an excellent time, especially if you have never had training, to both get an overview of the W-9 and learn about the most recent changes for March 2024. All right, so thanks everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 280th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.